5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to episode 73, our next lockdown special of the week, because myself, Scott Holmes, and this guy,
Paul Mount,
Are in lockdown again. So we're doing these short burst episodes just so we don't make sure we have less time for any faults or issues with recording over the phone. And to give you guys a little bit more throughout the week, hopefully, when they do appear online. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. You're in lockdown now, aren't you, as well? Because when we recorded the last episode, I was just about to go in, and now a couple of days later, you're in lockdown for us. Have they said how long it's for? Is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks, or is it just to be reviewed?
As of 6 p.m. last night, it'll be renewed in 2 weeks. There is talk of another national lockdown, isn't there?
Yeah, so, that's what I've heard this morning. I was looking at the news. Possible 2 week short lockdown. Oh, I can see it. It's not a surprise. Like you said, the last episode, we knew this was coming. But what can you do? You just got to try and roll with the punches and try and get through it. It's a pain.
It's plodding along.
I hate the expression, but it is what it is. You know, we've just got to try and get through it.
Yeah. Well, what else can we do?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's our second lockdown quickie. We did one a couple of days ago. What day is it now? It's Friday now. We did one on Monday, which unfortunately hasn't appeared as yet. So hopefully by the time you guys listen to this, that one will be available. It's been done and edited and it's ready to go. We're just waiting for it to appear. But that's not going to stop us. We'll carry on doing just these brief episodes just to remind you that we're still alive. And as Scott said, because we had a technical problem when we tried to record the official episode 72, we've broken this one down into three more manageable bite-sized chunks. Tell the children, Scott, what we're going to be talking about in the next hour, maybe?
Well, today we're going to be talking about ourselves, of course. You know, we'll let you know how we're doing and what we've been up to, and I can imagine that won't be a very long segment. No. Then we're going to be talking about the newly resurrected on the Netflix channel Cobra Kai, which came from YouTube Red, I believe it was called when they were doing it back then. Netflix has taken this show, put it on, and made it into something a bit bigger, really, haven't they? Because it's been very popular.
It seems to have been the big breakdown hit of the lockdown that people suddenly discovered. So I think the second series appeared on YouTube, on Netflix, and then it just drew people to both series, I think, isn't it? And people who probably weren't aware of it, now it's on Netflix, they're suddenly aware of it. And even I have watched it. And I think last time we spoke, I hadn't finished it, but I finished it now. And we shall be giving that a good old chat. What else have we got coming up, Scott, that people want to know?
We're also going to be doing some DVDs. So we're going to be looking at the new DC animated movie, Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Paul will also be giving us a little chat about the new Doctor Who animated DVD.
Fury from the Deep.
Fury from the Deep. And also Paul is going to be talking about the built from the ground up Day of the Triffids.
Yep, that's the BBC Blu-ray release, the slightly controversial one. I think we mentioned it briefly in the last episode. There are reviews of both of these now available online at starburstmagazine.com, and I believe the new Starburst has just come out, and there's an edited version of the Fury from the Deep review in there. Of course, the original plan was we were going to record an episode last week, so this would have been an exclusive review of the Blu-ray, which only came out last Monday, but circumstances have delayed things a bit, so it's just a review of something which is now available and that Doctor Who fans, I'm sure, will want to pick up. Similarly with Day of the Triffids, that came out last week, I think it was, last Monday, and like I said, it has been quite a controversial release with people complaining about the picture quality and the titles and so on, but talk about that when we get there. And then we'll be wrapping up with a return to the most famous corner in podcast history, which is
My Games Corner.
And what are you talking about in this corner?
It's actually quite an exclusive, really, because WWE 2K Battlegrounds was released at midnight last night. I stayed up to have a go on it for an hour, and I've had a little go on it this morning, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that.
That's good. Sadly, I still don't have my sound boxes, so I can't clap. But I will. There was a little clap just to make up for it.
And then we'll finish off with any other business we may think of during the show. Yeah,
I don't think there might be a couple of bits and pieces of news that have come up the last couple of weeks. I'll have a little think. So, yeah. So what have you been doing, Scott? Just being at home, getting prepared for lockdown. Yeah.
Getting prepared for lockdown, job hunting, watching TV. I started watching The Mandalorian again.
Yes, I'm going to have a rewatch. Yeah, I'm going to have a rewatch it.
Very excited for the end of October. And I watched the first like 4 episodes, but as soon as I started watching the first episode, I thought I forgot exactly how fantastic the show is. Yeah. You know, and I knew it was good, I knew I loved it, but then I was like rewatching it and thought, you know what, I bloody well love this show. It's just so good. So yeah, very much enjoying that, and obviously playing games, doing what I usually do, and that's that. What about yourself?
It's just been trying to get my head around what's going on in the world, so I haven't been as active and creative as I would like. I've got a few things, bits of writing I've needed to do, which I haven't been able to settle down to do. I finally sat down to do some of it this morning, but just basically bemoaning the state of the world and wishing things were a bit different, but just trying to sort of keep my spirits up, really. I think that's the thing.
Quite difficult to do at the moment.
It's difficult to do. I mean, I've been watching, you know, trying to watch a few things on Netflix and on TV. Did watch on TV this week, incidentally, which I must recommend to you, Scott, which I think you might enjoy. A 3-part thing on ITV called Dez, starring David Tennant as Dennis Nielsen, a famous serial killer from the late 70s, 80s in London, who murdered 15 young homeless boys, cut up their bodies and flushed them down the drain. So it is quite a well-known story in the annals of British serial killers, and ITV did this fantastic dramatisation. It's not a story of him killing people, it's the story of what happened when he was discovered and arrested. It's fascinating. And of course, David Tennant is absolutely brilliant. He's one of his best ever performances. So I highly recommend that to anybody who hasn't watched it. That was on over 3 nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's very much recommended. If you like your true life crime things, I'm not a big fan of these things normally, but this is a very well-known case. And of course, with David Tennant in it, it was a must-watch, really. So I recommend that.
Hard to say no to David Tennant.
Yeah, whatever he does, it's always worth a look. And he always brings something different to the party players. And he does actually look uncannily like this bloke. If you Google him when we finish, Dennis Nielsen, you'll see a picture of this guy and you can see how David Tennant, he's got that long face and the way his hair is done and the big glasses stuff. He just captures it brilliantly and his performance is fantastic. And also a shout out to the actor Daniel Mays, who plays the investigating police officer, and Jason Watkins, the actor who you may remember from Trolleyed, the comedy series set in the supermarket, amongst many other things. He plays this writer who Dennis Nielsen, when he's in prison, calls in a biographer to write his story because he was so egotistical. He wanted his life story told, even though he knew he was going to go to prison for life. That's just fascinating. Just a really good, gritty sort of drama. So I recommend that if people missed that one this week. It's worth a look. Looking forward over the weekend to watching Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous, which has just arrived on Netflix today. 6-part animated series that if we finish it, we might even feature it in the next podcast quickie. But that depends on how fast we get through it, of course. So yeah, that's pretty much it, really. Just ready to talk about television and things. Speaking of which...
Well, we should do that while starting with a...
TV review? Marvellous timing. Cobra Kai, as you mentioned it before, then this is the series which is a spin-off from or an update from the Karate Kid films in the 1980s that must admit I'd never seen. I had no interest in watching the Karate Kid films. And it's interesting history to this. It sort of debuted, as you've said, on the YouTube premium channel a couple of years ago, 2018 and 2019. But I think that it's sort of passed unnoticed because I don't think people look at YouTube for original dramatic content. It's mainly people opening boxes and reacting to things these days. YouTubers. Netflix have now acquired the rights to the series and a third series, which is out next year. And since it's appeared in June, it's become one of those big talk about hits that everybody seems to be watching. And I had no interest in it, really. I said, I know nothing about the Karate Kid. I thought, what's the point of me watching it? I'm not going to be able to pick up on this. It means nothing to me. But there was so much buzz about it. And you, yourself, you watched it all in the space of about a few hours. And I thought, well, this is probably worth a look. And most people say, well, it's the best thing I've seen on TV in years. And do you know what? I think they were right. Tell us what it's about, Scott. And tell us what you thought of it, because that's what people want to know.
Well, it's the story of the sort of Karate Kid Cobra Kai sort of confrontation. It's sort of fizzled out between Daniel-san and John, who was the fighter who they fought. They fought against each other, and Daniel defeated John in the fight. John took a little bit of a hit from his sensei, and you know, one person's life, Daniels, has kind of gone a really positive way. He's a car salesman. He's doing really well for himself. Whereas John has gone the other way. He's, you know, he does like sort of in-house work, DIY stuff. He likes a good drink. You know, his apartment's a bit of a mess. But he keeps getting kind of nudged with things that Daniel has been doing. So, you know, big billboards and such, and they don't have interactions, but he decides to bring back Cobra Kai and get a new generation of fighters.
Cobra Kai, for those who don't know, is his dojo, his karate school, if you like, which was in the film. So I'm assuming that's the name of the Cobra Kai that was in the film when he was with Mr. I'm going to say Mojito, but it's not Mojito, is it?
No, I can't remember his name now. It's been a while since I actually watched it. But
he's referenced like the series, so I should remember him really, because he's referenced right the way through it. Pat Narita's character, anyway, you know who he is.
Yeah. Well, the story then progresses with Cobra Kai, you know, getting new people in to be trained, and it focuses mostly on John, who is the sort of, you know, he goes through a sort of life experience. But then you get a lot from Daniel as well, you know, trying to change his life. So it kind of works really, really well how it all connects together. But just such a fun show to watch, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I said, for me, not having any knowledge of the characters, obviously I was aware of the Karate Kid films. It wasn't something that seemed to be my cup of tea. And when I went to watch it, I thought, "Well, am I gonna not pick up on things?" But it's very well structured, and it explains the background without making you feel that you're missing anything. There's lots of little flashbacks to things. You instantly pick up on this relationship between these two guys who are now in their 50s. One's become a huge success with this chain of car showrooms and this car business. The other one, as you say, he's down on his luck. He's got the failed marriage behind him. He's got a teenage son who doesn't want to know him. Thinks he's a bum. Their lives have gone in different ways, but they've got this connection back to when they were kids at this dojo, the Cobra Kai dojo. And their lives come back together again because of circumstance. Johnny meets up this young lad called Miguel, and he sort of saves him from getting beaten up. And he realizes that his future perhaps lies in his past by starting up the Cobra Kai dojo again. But there's this rivalry between him and Danny, which is still simmering away after all these years. I mean, they both still live in the same town. I think it's part of the suburb of Los Angeles. Johnny's obviously envious of Danny's success, and he's got this all-American family. You know, he's got this big house, this wife, this loving wife, this daughter and son. He wants for nothing. Whereas, as you say, Johnny's living in relative squalor. And the whole show, across the 20 episodes, is the story of their antipathy and how they're still rivals. And Danny decides to set up a dojo, whereas the Cobra Kai dojo is sort of predicated upon, you know, have no mercy, take revenge. Danny sees
it very aggressive.
Yeah, it's aggressive, but Danny sees it more as more peaceable and more relaxing and more about karma and stuff like that. And
it's the way he was taught.
Yeah, by, the way he was taught. And what I liked about it, and when I went into it, I thought, this is going to be, I thought I'm going to be like a massive hypocrite here because this is full of teenagers doing what teenagers do. And I've sworn off that sort of stuff. But it isn't, because you've got as much front and centre, you've got the stories of Johnny and Danny and their lives. And these guys I can more relate to because they're in their 50s and their lives have had their ups and downs. But they're as much front and centre. And in fact, I would say they're the lead characters because they drive everything else that happens to all the younger characters. You get all the high school stuff. You get all the teenage crushes and all that sort of stuff. But it's not as cloying or as annoying as I usually find it because there are a lot of adults. And it all surrounds their lives as well. And plus, I found
it's also very well written. It's
beautifully written, really cleverly written, very funny. It's quite knowing. It's sort of a bit tongue-in-cheek. It has a little, what I liked about it as well, it has a little jabs at modern sensibilities. You know, there's one bit particularly which I did laugh at where I think it's in the second series where Johnny is on the phone to somebody who's making inquiries about joining the classes. And he goes, I'm just about to start a class now. We take boys and girls. He goes, gender what? Is this a crank call? Because and he is completely unreconstructed. He doesn't understand about the internet computers. A bit like me, he doesn't quite understand the modern world and how it's come to this. And I like the way they do that without being judgmental on him. It's just presenting this man who doesn't understand all this stuff and he doesn't know the right words to say and the right expressions, the right things. And it's full of little things like that, which I think are really funny. But it's done in a way which I don't think...
It's my favourite kind of comedy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could take offence by it because that's, you know, the character.
It's my favourite kind of comedy is character comedy. Characters that do something funny because it's believable that character would do it. Yeah. This is the reason why I had issues with Thor Ragnarok, because half of the comedy classics that Thor was doing wasn't in his character. Yeah. It was written in for this film. Yeah. Whereas this show, and all the comedy bits and stuff, when you do give a chuckle or when something bad happens, you believe that the character would actually do that. And that's why I think it's one of those well-written shows that we've had this year. Because
it's fantastic. Yeah, it doesn't. You can tell it's made by people who really care about making a good television program. I mean, you've got Ralph Macchio as Daniel and William Zabka, who I'd never heard of before, as this sort of down on his luck surfer dude type Johnny, and he plays it so well. He's got this exhausted sort of look about him, as if. The world's not for me anymore, but he's trying to find his way in it. Daniel is cocky and arrogant, but I love all the interplay with the kids. You know, the daughter Sam, and Johnny's son Robbie, who's a bit of a rebel. He doesn't really want to his father in his life. He wants to do the right thing, but he doesn't want to be what his father is. And Miguel, played by Zolo, and Mariduena, who's the first boy that Johnny takes under his wing, and builds the whole dojo around him, and all the supporting characters like Hawk. And who first seems a bit irritating, and he certainly seems to go to the dark side in the second series. But every character is so well drawn, no matter how much you see them on screen. And even though there's lots of elements of like teenage relationships and fancying each other and all sort of stuff, it's not as annoying as it normally is because the whole thing is framed around this adult story of these two characters. Yeah. And it's so well done and naturalistic. It's not normally you've got these airbrushed kids. And all this soft focus stuff, and these kids are usually so sassy, you know, shouty. But these are just normal American high school kids, and they're also not sure of how they present themselves to the world, and they're not sure how to go about starting a relationship or finding a life and finding what they want to do. And it's not like those cocky kids that you get in all these other teen shows that, you know, like shouting at the screen at you about how great they are and how useless older people are. And I just felt it's just a lovely balance. And just every episode it's got little cliffhangers. And again, every episode's about half an hour long, which is absolutely perfect because, you know, went back and looked through. It's gone, but all of a sudden you're watching it, and all of a sudden all the credits come out. You've had 27 minutes or 30 minutes. It's not like things like The Boys or Lovecraft Country. You put them on, it's like, an hour and 8 minutes. And those things, no matter how much you might like them, they drag. An hour and 8 minutes is too long for an episode of a TV show. This is just the perfect length. I think the longest one is about 31, 33 minutes. And they just get in. The storytelling is sharp, to the point. very cleverly done. There's just absolutely a real revelation for me this year.
A lot of the montages and fightings are very good as well. Yeah. But I think the fighting in the last episode of season two was just phenomenal.
I was just going to mention that. I mean, it all kicks off in the high school and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But season one has season one's ending has got the fight at the competition. But season two, when the kids go nuts in school, it's like, and you've got these quite little kids beating shit out of each other as well, which I thought was quite funny.
Well, I was wondering what they were going to do with that because halfway through episode two, I thought, well, they haven't got any ending set up. You know, it's about martial arts and stuff. Where's the competition, like number one had? So I'm thinking, and then when all that kicked off, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then looking back then, you could see it, of course, because all this, you know, without spoiling it for people who haven't seen it, it's all the character stuff that's been building up across the season explodes in the last episode. And yeah, a lot of it is about boyfriend-girlfriend stuff and people, you know, kids. But I keep saying it's not in that irritating way that a lot of shows do where these kids are like prancing across the screen. It's the writing, and presenting them as believable people. A lot of these teens in other shows, I don't believe in them as people. But I believe in this. Like, I believe there's a lot of God of life out there, and they're living this life, and because they don't do anything ridiculous and extreme. It's not about having superpowers. It's about behaving like ordinary, believable people. And I think they all do, and that's because of the writing and the acting.
So Cobra Kai, what would you rate Cobra Kai?
My only criticism of it, and it's a very, very minor criticism, is that I think they possibly missed a slight trick. Because some of the language, it's not so bad in season two, honestly, it's toned it down a bit. Season one, there was a lot of swearing, a lot of adult sexualized content, which I think is a shame because I think this is a show a bit like Doctor Who that adults could have said to their kids, oh, it's Karate Kid. I used to love this one. And as a kid, come and watch this. And I think there's some content that is a bit too near the knuckle, perhaps for very young kids, which is a shame because I think the stories that it's telling and the what it's putting across would be very useful for quite young kids about, you know, life choices and the way you live your life. And I think perhaps they've missed a trick, particularly in the first season, by having a bit too much over-the-top swearing. It doesn't bother me, but I think very young kids who would have enjoyed this as a good story, perhaps some parents might have thought, no, they're not ready for this yet. But I'm going to give it, despite that, I'm going to give it 10 out of 10, because for me, I couldn't fault it as television I was watching. That's my only criticism of it, but it doesn't apply to me. I just think perhaps there's certain things they could have done in a slightly different way. But I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. Just, you know, and I flew through the first season. I took my time more with the second season because I knew there wasn't any more after that for a while and I didn't want to finish it too quickly. But yeah, just absolutely terrific.
I myself watched it in one complete sit until 4 in the morning. And I have to give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Just for sheer enjoyment. Because we watch lots of stuff for this podcast and it's really nice to watch something that, because some of these things do feel like a chore. You think, I've got to get through this, I've got to get through that. But to watch something like this, which is just a joy and that you look forward to and I was genuinely like, what's going to happen in this episode? You know, how is that going to go forward? And there are certain things like, I really want Johnny and Danny to become friends. I just want that to happen. And
feel invested in them.
Yeah. And I think it's episode 9 where they end up in the same restaurant and they have a good time. I thought, oh, they've sort of built some bridges here. And of course, they don't last very long. There is, I think, in the second season, towards the end, there's a little bit of sort of bit too much coincidence, perhaps, to make things happen. Like they both end up in the same restaurant. Of all the restaurants, he takes his date to a restaurant and Danny walks in with his wife, and the previous episode where he goes on a dating thing and he meets the chap who just happens to be going out with the neighbor that he likes, and so it's like they force things to happen to move the story along, which doesn't spoil it, but you do think, oh, it's a bit of a coincidence that that person was there at exactly the time that that person's there.
But I think that's just small sort of downside to having 30 minutes of an episode. You've got to push it like that sense.
Yeah.
You know, if it was an hour long, they could have done the whole thing of him looking for this person.
Well, I'm glad they did. I mean, in episode, I think it's episode 9 or episode 8, where he's doing this dating thing, he seems to have about 6 different dates but that presumably is six different nights. But the rest of the story is all, you know. But that's just a very tiny, silly niggle. It doesn't spoil it at all. It just makes you think, oh, this contracted time period. But it's just very, it's uplifting. It's exactly what I wanted at the moment. And what I said about The Boys in the last episode, it's just a bit too dark. And I don't want things that are that dark at the moment. I love dark stuff. It's great. But at the moment, I want something that's uplifting and entertaining and funny. And I think this is absolutely perfect for the current climate. So I unreservedly recommend it. And anybody who's like me, thought, oh, I'm not interested in Karate Kid, watch this. Doesn't matter. And now I love the way that it doesn't matter because they fill in the blanks. You understand about Mr. Miyagi, got his name now. You understand how important he was because you get flashbacks. And you get flashbacks to Danny and Johnny's struggles in the past and their relationship in the past. That's all you need. You don't need to see those films. So honestly, if anybody who's umming and ahhing about it, go in and just revel in it because it's just great.
Good bit of TV.
Mm.
Let's diverge from TV.
But before we do that, though, what do you think the future is? Because we know there's a third series, which is due next year. I don't know how it's working out filming-wise. They started filming if they had to stop. Again, it's one of those shows you think, I don't know how they make this with COVID because there's so many people, so much close contact. You think, how can they do it socially distanced? It's that problem again. But it's going to happen. But I hope that the third series actually will be the last because I don't want it to run for like 5 or 6 years. You think, oh, it's they're just going over and over the same thing now. And I do hope it ends with them becoming friends. And, you know, I want a happy ending for this.
Yeah, I'd like a happy ending for pretty much all the characters, really, except for one. Yeah. You know, because he's a bit of a knobhead. But, I'd like a happy ending for pretty much all the characters. And I think season three would be a nice way to end it.
Yeah.
You know, because season two obviously ended with quite a big...
But it's a major sort of almost like a reset, really, for Johnny. He sort of, they very purposely had that scene of him putting a TV on the wall, which is where we met him in the very first episode. It's almost as if he's back where he started. So it's obviously going to be redemption for him. But I just think it would be nice for Danny and Johnny to be friends after all these years and, you know, accept their differences and be friends, and for all the other characters to find their places as well. But I think one more season should do it, really, because there would be a risk of, a bit more teen angst or them, Danny and Johnny being friends and then coming apart again. There's only so many times you can do that without it becoming repetitive. So I hope that they've got a clear vision of where they want to take it and finish it. I suspect they have because it's that sort of show. So anyway, that's Cobra Kai, which is available streaming now. 2 seasons of 20 episodes, not to be missed on the Netflix channel. As you were saying, something else now. Physical media. Okay, 3 DVD Blu-ray releases just to whiz through. First one, should we do Superman Man of Tomorrow first, as you've seen that one? I've seen it as well a few weeks ago. As is often the way with these things, I can remember very little about it now, although I did enjoy it at the time. What do you think of this one, Scott?
Really good. It follows on the heels of Justice League Dark Apocalypse, where they've done another reset. So we've gone back to the beginning of Superman, where he's a bumbling reporter, posing as a bumbling reporter. Nobody knows he's Superman apart from his parents. He is still getting used to his powers, abilities. He's still hiding it, but then, it's the kind of story of how Superman got to be known as Superman. Really, really good, actually. The animation was a bit surprising in this one because it was, I don't know the name of the animation, but if you've seen a series called Archer, it reminded me very strongly of that kind of animation.
Yeah.
Whereas before we've had quite cartoony style animation, this is a bit more 2D, a bit more flat. Yeah. It really suited the style of the story. It was nice because this story didn't feature any major villains that people have gotten used to. like Darkseid or Doomsday or anyone like that. Yeah, Darkseid. Sorry,
yeah,
getting confused
you had,
now.
You had
it was Parasite.
We had Lex Luthor in it a bit, didn't we? I seem to remember.
Well, you can't have Superman without Lex Luthor in Metropolis. You know, you can't, because Lex Luthor's prime in Metropolis. He's not just a villain. He is a sort of strong figure of Metropolis.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he wasn't exactly acting as a villain.
No.
He was acting as Lex Luthor pre-Superman, before he got sort of addicted into taking Superman down. But Parasite was the main villain in this one. Parasite being a creature that can draw in power from different sources and make himself more powerful. Really, really good introductions to another character as well. I was very, very happy to see Martian Manhunter make an appearance, because he doesn't get very prominent moments in the animated DC movies. So to see him come into it massively, I think the last time we probably seen him was, I can't remember the one now, but there was this big sort of blob creature that comes from space, which is where he was trying to get to. But yeah, it's very, 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 very good show, actually. I think this film, has, along with Apocalypse, has revitalized my enjoyment of the animated DC universe, because a couple of them have fell a bit flat for me of recent. But this one was very good. It was reinvented with a new animation style. They brought in Parasite instead of trying to pander to casual watchers. You know, they kept it to that style. They had all the characters, good voice acting. I was very, very pleased with this. Very pleased.
Excellent. I think the animation, I think that it was a conscious decision to do slightly different animation, because I think that the Apocalypse thing closed that collection of 15 or 18 films. And this is like a new start of a new type of DC universe.
Well, they did it with Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
When Flashpoint Paradox came in, they restarted with a new 52 era.
Yeah.
They changed the animation style, the look of all the characters and stuff. So, it's nice when they do that, because you know it's a different sort of timeline too.
Yeah.
Whatever loose timeline DC animated movies have, but
I thought this was fine. I enjoyed watching it for what it was. I'm not a big fan of animated stuff, really, especially with superheroes, because Marvel do it so well with live action. And I did think, oh, here we go, Superman's origin again. You know, back to the farmhouse, the Clark with Martha. And like I've said before, I like a continuity that you can rely on. And of course, DC just keep restarting things and beginning them again. So you're watching a run of stories and it counts for nothing, because they just restarted all over again. So now, you know, legendarily, Superman is supposed to be around for years, but now he's like suddenly appears and they don't know who he is. And I understand it's just a different way of telling the story. But for me, I think, why should I invest in this? Because they'll just do something else different again with it in a couple of years' time. Another origin story. And I can watch it as it is and think, yeah, it was all right. But there's no point in me getting too interested, because there's going to be no follow-on to this, I wouldn't have thought. I wouldn't have thought they'll be like, you know, will they go back to this version of Superman, or they will come up with another version of Superman and another version of Lois Lane and another version of Lex Luthor. And so I find it hard to care, other than sitting and watching and thinking, oh, yes, this is, the animation is quite good and it's quite violent. There's a little bit of swearing, which they do to be edgy. But, yeah, it's fine for what it is. But it's just another version of Superman amongst many other versions of Superman. But I just prefer to have that sort of the continuity, rather than throw the continuity away and start it again, because they can't think of anything else to do.
Yeah. Well, DC, even in the comics, you know, because he's followed the comics, certain comic stories and stuff. That's what DC do and have done.
They all do it. I mean, Marvel do it as well. They've restarted. There's always a Spider-Man number one and Fantastic Four number one. No, they'd be going to 1962. You know, and it's just purely because they want to start trying to bump the sales up by starting them again. You think, well, no. You can't just throw aside 50 years worth of storytelling just because your sales figures are dropping. So you want to put number one on front of it again. And Because I, you know, having watched things like Doctor Who with a massive continuity, and that's one of the things that annoyed Doctor Who fans about this Timeless Child thing. They felt that the whole of Doctor Who's continuity is thrown out. Well, it isn't, but that's a whole other issue. But I think that the comics do tend to do that. They say, oh, brand new origin story. Well, why have I wasted, you know, 50 years reading these things? If you say, well, it doesn't matter now, you're starting at the end. And I know it's all commercial and down to economics of the comics industry, but I just think, well, why should I invest in it when it's just one other version of a story I'm familiar with? That's what I felt about this. But it was entertaining. I watched it and, you know, it didn't bore me. There was a lot going on. I did like the animation. It was quite sort of, as you say, it was slightly different, a bit more stylish than stylistic. But the ultimate feeling is, yeah, well, there we are. So I think, I suspect you liked it more than me.
Yeah, and I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
Blimey. I'm giving it a 6 out of 10, which is decent, I think.
For somebody that's not massive into cartoons and stuff, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Superman's always been slightly problematic because he is so powerful. You've got to find some really crazy threat to make it worth his while. And there's always the issue about losing his powers. That's always the thing in Superman. He always loses his powers. There's always green kryptonite.
There's always kryptonite, yeah.
There's always kryptonite. And you sort of think, well, what's the point in having Superman if, you know, he's too super? It's a similar thing to Captain Marvel. I always say, well, she's so powerful that how can you tell an interesting story with these people? But this is possibly why they keep reinventing Superman, because they want to try and find different ways and make it look as if it's the first time. But yeah, it's, if you're a fan of these sort of things, then it's available now on DVD and Blu-ray. Superman, Man of Tomorrow. I don't know what the next one in the run is of DC animated. I'm sure I read something about one, but I don't think what it was. Probably another Batman thing, I would imagine.
Well, I can certainly have a look while you talk about...
I'll talk about Doctor Who and the Fury from the Deep. Just briefly, because there is a long review on the website and a shorter one in the magazine. This is the latest in the BBC's strategy of animating missing Doctor Who episodes. As we know, there's 97 black and white Doctor Who episodes missing from the archives because the BBC, feeling they were of no commercial value in the 70s, junked a lot of them. Some have come back from overseas since then. There were originally about 130 odd missing, but some have come back. But there's 97 episodes missing now. There probably always will be, although there are rumours that half a dozen are in the hands of private collectors who aren't in a hurry to give them up. But certainly publicly, there's 97 that are missing. So the BBC have been slowly animating some of these missing Patrick Troughton episodes. We've had Power of the Daleks, the Macra Terror and the Faceless Ones, and now we've got Fury from the Deep, which is one of the acknowledged classics of the mid-Patrick Troughton period in 1968. And it's a story I remember very well. And there are some clips of it available, because when it was shown in Australia, it was considered to be too violent and horrific. So some scenes were cut out and those clips have been discovered and actually on the DVD, and they've been released previously. And it does look, it chimes with my memories of it. It's quite a creepy sort of modern story set on the North Sea, where this weed creature is coming up from the earth, taking over this oil refinery in this oil base. And it is quite a creepy story. And I think the animation brings that across quite well. You can watch it in colour or black and white, because obviously it was made in black and white. I haven't watched the black and white one yet. I imagine that's even more atmospheric. And what they've done is what they always do with these DVDs, these animated things. They make the stories a bit bigger than they would have been on screen, because obviously it was a low budget BBC thing. So they've got, the sets are much bigger. The monsters look more frightening. They've obviously interpreted things rather than just completely recreated it as it was, because there probably wouldn't be a lot of point in that. There's a scene in the last episode where the Doctor's flying a helicopter from this oil rig back to the base. And on the TV episode, apparently, it's just the doctor just fooling with the controls as if he can't control the helicopter. But in this, they've got these great tentacles thrashing out of the sea and attacking the helicopter, which makes it look more dramatic. But that didn't actually happen on the TV version. But the animation is better. The animation has been a bit sort of half-hearted. Not half-hearted. It's been because they're quite low-budget things. Obviously, they're not like Pixar or Disney. It hasn't got that fluidity to them. But this one is the best one they've done, because they look a bit more naturalistic. They've always had problems making characters look as if they're walking, and they've done that a lot better this time. So it's certainly a step up in terms of animation quality. But I do, as much as I enjoyed it, it was great to see it, and it held my attention better than some of the others that they've done. But again, I do feel at the end, I still haven't really seen Fury from the Deep again. I've seen a version of it, but I haven't seen it. And you're not going to see it the way it was made originally. But you're still feeling this is what it is. It's the next best alternative to seeing the originals. We're not going to see the originals. The soundtrack is brilliant because it was, the soundtracks were recorded back in the 60s, so it's crystal clear. It sounds brilliant. The animation is very good, and it's highly recommended. There's some very good special features on the DVD and Blu-ray set. The picture looks great. It is just a shame, good as these are, that we have to have them. We can't have the originals, but it is the next best thing. So I give it, I think I gave it 8 out of 10. Because it's, you know, Doctor Who fans will want to see it, and it's worth looking at. Final mention for the Day of the Triffids Blu-ray, which came out last week. Six-part 1981 BBC adaptation in half-hour episodes of the John Wyndham classic, which is my favourite book, by the way. Previously filmed in 1962 and later filmed in 2009 by the BBC in an inferior two-part version, despite the fact they spent much more money on it. This is the best version. This is the definitive screen version because it follows the line of the book more authentically. The story, of course, of this comet that everybody on Earth is exposed to, that anybody who sees it goes blind. Meanwhile, there are these plants called Triffids, which have been discovered, which have this sting, which can blind people, but they're actually cannibalistic and they can move. And of course, when you've got a blind population, the Triffids are going to step in and take advantage of that. So it's basically, it's a bit like Survivors. It's the story of the world collapsing, which is a story that's always fascinated me. A story of people trying to survive in a world where people can't see. And there are killer plants on the loose. A brilliant adaptation. It was brilliant when it was done in 1981. It gripped me then. Stars Bill, John Dutton rather, as the hero, Bill Mason. And an actress called Emma Ralph, who plays Josella Platen, who's this girl he teams up with. And it's the story of them in London trying to get out of London. They get separated and forced by this sort of well-meaning bloke who's trying to keep the blind people alive. They're forced to look after different groups of blind people. But unfortunately, a disease sweeps across London and people start dying. So they have to get out of London and try to find their way back together again. It's just, because you read the book, you know the story of the book is. And this is the most faithful version of the book. There's been a lot of criticism in some places about the quality of the transfer of the Blu-ray. Now, I'm not particularly technically minded. I don't know what deinterlacing video means. I don't care about any of that. I put this on and thought, wow, this looks like it was made yesterday. They really cleaned it up. There's no scratches. There's no dirt. They've really tidied it all up. Apparently, they've done, because it was filmed, the exterior scenes were all done on film, which means that can be done in high definition. The interior scenes were all done on videotape in the studio, which is the way British drama used to be made. And that apparently has been deinterlaced, which means it's been filmized. But I can't tell that. My untrained eyes cannot tell the difference. It looks to me just like it looked in 1981. The studio scenes very clearly look to me like studio interior scenes, but so sharp and so clear. Apparently, they've tidied up the titles as well because the titles were done on video. They've now tidied them up. But they look just like the original titles to me. But there are some fans who've got their asses in their hands and say, they've butchered it. They've made a mess of this. It's disgraceful. I want my money back. To me, it looks great. You know, if you are technically minded, perhaps you'll notice these things that I didn't notice. But they're so minute that I just don't think it matters. It looks fantastic, and I'm so pleased to have this on Blu-ray. And even though it isn't, strictly speaking, a high-definition production, it just looks like it is. It looks really sharp. It looks really clear. Very glad to have it in my collection, and I give it...
Tempting.
I just love Day of the Triffids. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 because I love it. I think... I love the story, and I think this version of it is brilliant, and I think this Blu-ray presentation of it is brilliant, despite what all the whingers say. So unless you're really desperately technically minded and will find fault with it, I can't recommend it enough. It's on Blu-ray. Now, Day of the Triffids, the 1981 BBC six-part adaptation. It's great. Go for it. So yeah, that's our DVD reviews for this fabulous episode.
I just found two films that are DC animated films that are coming out.
Yep.
One is in 2022, and the other one is to be announced. We have Batman, The Long Halloween.
Okay.
So it's a standalone film. It's set during the early years of the Caped Crusader. The film is one of the most popular films among the numerous legends of Batverse. The story is set to split into two parts, meaning we'll see two more stories into the horizon. The plot dictates Batman to collaborate with Gordon to fight against crime and corruption. And this is an interesting one. 2022 Super Pets movie.
Oh, dear. I won't be able to watch that one.
So the plot of the movie allows some alien creatures to exist who want to move to their solar system. They try to achieve the same in their attempt to gain control over every superhero. However, the superhero has known that mind tricks of these aliens do not work upon animals, so they call upon the services of the super pets.
Yeah. You're not selling it to me.
It's an interesting one, but I wouldn't mind seeing crypto and stuff come into play. It'd be quite cool.
No, I can't work up a lot of enthusiasm.
Talk about something else I can't sell to you. Here's my Games Corner.
Well, you can always sell it to me. Whether I make use of it when it's sold to me is another thing. Tell us about your Games Corner.
Okay, so last night, fresh off the press, released WWE 2K Battlegrounds, which is a wrestling game, as you can tell from the WWE. Quick thing about this year's wrestling games. We did have a release of WWE 2K20, which was the 20th edition into the 2K's yearly releases. The game was diabolical. It was unfinished. It was broken. So many issues, so many glitches. Nothing worked in the game at all. So I feel like this game was made to apologize for that. And apologize, it certainly did. Now, this isn't a realistic wrestling game. It's much more cartoony. It's much more animated. And the special moves and the things that the wrestlers can do are a bit over the top. So you fly in the air with fire coming from your fists and slamming people down and such. But it still keeps the core fundamentals of what makes a WWE game. So you've got the wrestlers, the special moves, the SmackDown special moves. So you've got Rock Bottom, Tombstone Piledriver, so on and so forth. But it's a lot more manic than what you'd expect. For instance, once you unlock the Florida stage, when you're fighting on it, you can throw somebody over the side for them to get eaten by a crocodile. And such like that. So it's much more over-the-top fun action rather than the realistic style that we've come to know from the 2K games. You start with a select couple of characters, which you can go into the campaign, play as an unknown wrestler, build your roots up, get some in-game cash to unlock other characters. For instance, I managed to unlock Jeff Hardy and The Rock, and I'm currently online to unlock Mankind as well. It's good fun. There's a lot going on with it. You know, I've only had a couple of hours worth of gameplay on it. I played online with my friends, which is really, really entertaining, especially when you can pull off some really fun moves. Quite fast-paced, pretty aggressive, good game modes on there. You've got Hell in a Cell. You've got your tag teams, your 1v1s, Royal Rumbles. You know, there's also an online mode of Royal Rumble where you go in and join many, many other players and survive for as long as you can within the ring. Royal Rumble is where if you get thrown out of the ring, you're out. And it has, like, all the wrestlers are able to enter during the process of it. So really good fun. And, I'm looking forward to playing a bit more of it. But I believe they're releasing 70 characters to unlock, which is quite a large number.
Good grief.
You've got classic characters as well. So you've got characters like Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and then you've got the more up-to-date characters like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Good collection of characters for all the new fans. Very over-the-top fun gameplay, and some really good mechanics thrown in as well. And I'd recommend getting the game. It's not even expensive for this day and age's games. Most games these days come out of 50, 60 quid. This one was $34.99. So a nice reasonable price tag. As it stands, there's a couple of hours worth of gameplay. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 because it was good fun.
Blimey.
A little bit of news as well that I've come across. The PlayStation 5 will be releasing in November. On the side of that, if you have a PlayStation 4 or PS Plus in November, they're giving away 18 games for free.
Good grief.
Now, they have been on the PS Plus monthly before. So if you've had the PS Plus for a while, then you've probably already got them. But there are four new ones coming as well. If you haven't, then it's your chance to grab a bunch of free games. The PlayStation 5 itself is coming out. And I believe the price range is £400, I think, for the non-disc version, which means that you can't actually put a disc into the game. It's all downloadable content. And then for the disc version, I believe it goes up to £550. But I read something, I don't know how true this is. This is just typical online reading. Apparently, PS5 games are looking to be about £95 a game.
Good grief.
And if that's the case, it's going to be a lot harder for me to try and convince my wife to allow me to get a bloody game. Mm. You know, because £95 is quite a lot of cash.
Hell it is for a game. No matter how much of a gamer you are, it is still a game.
The thing is, as it stands, you know, me and my brother, we share our accounts. So, you know, if there is a game for £60, we pay £30 each and we both get to play the game. So even that's going to be difficult. £90, £95, £100, what have you. Yeah, we're looking about paying £40, £50 each for one particular game. So it's going to get harder and harder to be a gamer on low income. Watch this space.
Well, as long as we have some sort of games corner, even if it's like, I played a game of Monopoly yesterday, just something, anything, because we must have games corner.
Well, start of October as well, I think October the 2nd, October the 3rd, we are getting Star Wars Squadrons, which I've already pre-ordered, so I'll be playing that at midnight, so I'll have a up-to-date review when that comes out. Very, very excited for that. If you are interested in Star Wars Squadrons, they did release a... it's like a trailer for the game, but it's an 8-minute mini-movie about a TIE fighter pilot and an X-Wing pilot, you know, during a fight, and that's very, very entertaining to watch. And I'd recommend just type in Star Wars Squadrons movie trailer, and it'll come up, and it's really, really good fun on YouTube.
Chances are I won't do that, but I'm sure many, many people will. I'd just like to give you a big round of applause for that, but unfortunately I don't have my device, but I do.
Thank you.
That's okay. There you are. It's the least you deserve. You also deserve this. Thank you very much. What about this one?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, we'll have that one again. Or this one. Even better.
Oh, they're thrilled. They are. That's a strong applause.
I think they're a bit overexcited, actually. Oh, this one. Yeah,
that just sounds like I'm performing at a kids' party.
It sounds like kids running away from paedophile. We don't want that one. No. All right, man. I think we've moved on now from applause. Yeah. I don't know what that was. Anyway, there we are. You had your applause that's rightfully yours. Thank you for that wonderful game corner.
3 minutes of unneeded content.
Oh, they love it. That's what they love. They love the unpredictability of it all. So there we are. I think we're pretty much done, aren't we? There may well be any other business, but I haven't made a note of anything, because I just couldn't be bothered. I'll try to do that for the next episode, because I'm sure there's been some news that will go, not sure about that. Just a brief mention, I hear this morning that there is talk that Henry Cavill has signed up for more Superman content. Oh. I don't know what form that's going to be, because apparently originally the studios weren't particularly interested in doing anything else with Superman, but there is now some talk that... he signed on the dotted line again, so we may get more of him, which would be interesting because I think he's got a lot of potential. I just don't think that it's been anywhere near exploited in what we've seen of him so far. We need a, you know, we talked about Superman, how powerful he is, talking about Man of Tomorrow, but I think he could bring a humanity to it if, you know, with the right script and the right story. It's difficult with Superman, but apparently that's what's going around this morning. The latest bit of news I picked up before I got stuck into my work for the day. We may discuss that again when we do the next episode, if that's confirmed as a definite news item and not just rumour.
Rumour.
So have you got any other business, Scott?
Nope.
Neither have I. So that's the end of episode 73. It was a doozy, wasn't it? Even by our standards.
It was. Yeah. A very short doozy.
In the next episode, which we may be recording on the weekend, see how we feel. We will be talking about Away, which is the new, I would call it space adventure series on Netflix, but now I've watched six episodes. It ain't really a space adventure, but it's an interesting show. And hopefully Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous, if we manage to take a look at that before the weekend when we record again.
I'm sure I will.
I'll probably have a look at it tonight because it's dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs,
for God's sake. Also, we'll finally get around to reviewing Colossus, the Forbin Project, or Forbin, the Colossus Project, whatever it was called, which Mr. Emson suggested we watch a little while ago. And I think that'll be it for the next episode. So that's all to come in episode 74, which hopefully we'll be laying down over the weekend. Any final words, Scott, before I shoot you in the head?
Ba-ba-booey.
Oh, and how about a nice jingle?
You're listening to TV Zone Plus. Have you really got nothing better to do?
That was indeed a very nice jingle. Say goodbye to the nice people out there, Scott.
Goodbye to the nice people out there.
And I too would like to say goodbye, and we'll speak to you all soon. Hopefully we'll be a bit more
oof
next time, but there's no guarantee. We'll see you on the other side of the craziness. I'm Paul Mount, you are...
Bye! Oh, I'm Scott Holmes.
Yeah, that's it. Bye, bye now.
You have been listening to TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.
On, wax off, breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off.
Hey, where these cars come from?
Wax on. Detroit!